जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बालबागिरिवर धारी ससुरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुन तिरावन चारी जमुन तिरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाल गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बाल गिरिवर धारी शरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन शरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुन तिरावन चारी जमुन तिरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस ISKCON Guru Vrindaki Jai Prem Sagaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shyamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai Shri Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Sankirtan Jagna Ki Jai Brihatma Danga Chantan Lubak Distribution Ki Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Their Transcendental Lordship Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radhashama Sundar Ki Jai, Sri Sri Krishna Balarama Ki Jai, Sri Sri Prahlad Nishinga Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, Samaveda Bhakta Vinda Ki Jai, All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Guru. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 22, chapters entitled Elements of Material Creation. Today we're on text 45. So, Yam Dipo Soyam diporchi samyatvat. Shrota samtaridam jalam. Soyam pumaniti nrinam. Mishagir dir mishayusum. Soyam diporji samyatvat. Shrota samtaridam jalam. Soyam pumaniti nrinam. Mishagir dir mishayusum. Please chant. Shyam taridam jalam. Some of the radiation of a lamp. Yadvat, just as. Shotasham, of the currents flowing in a river. Tat, that. Idam, the same. Jalam, water. Sa, this. Ayam, the same. Human, person. Iti, thus. Nrinam, of men. Misha, false. Gi, statement. Di, thought. Misha ayusham, of those who are wasting their life. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Although the illumination of a lamp consists of innumerable rays of light undergoing constant creation, transformation, and destruction, a person with illusory intelligence who sees the light for a moment will speak falsely, saying, "This is the light of the lamp." As one observes a flowing river, ever new water passes by and goes far away. Yet a foolish person, observing one point in the river, falsely states, "This is the water of the river." Similarly, although the material body of a human being is constantly undergoing transformation, those who are simply wasting their lives falsely thinking, falsely think and say that each particular stage of the body is a person's real identity. Purport. Although one may say, this is the light of the lamp, there are innumerable rays of light being created, transformed, and destroyed at every moment. And although one may speak of the water of the river, there's an ever new supply of different water molecules passing by. Similarly, when one meets a young child, one accepts that particular transitory phase of the body as the actual identity of the person, considering him to be a child. One also considers an old body to be an old person. In fact, however, the material body of a human being, just like the waves of a river or the radiation of a lamp, is merely a transformation of the three modes of material nature, the potency of the Supreme Lord. The real identity of a person is spirit, soul, part and parcel of Lord Krishna. But as Lord Krishna proves in this verse, a conditioned soul is incapable of observing or understanding the subtle movements of time. With the gross vision of material consciousness, one cannot ascertain the subtle segments of material manifestation, which are impelled by the Lord himself as time. The word mishayasum in this verse indicates those who are uselessly wasting their life in ignorance without understanding the instructions of the Lord. Such persons gullibly accept any particular phase of the body to be the actual identity of the spirit soul within the body, because the spirit soul is not subject to material transformation. When he engages in the eternal variegated pleasure of Krishna consciousness, loving service to the Supreme Lord, he will experience no further ignorance and suffering. Soyam dipo jisham yadvat shota sham tad idam jalam soyam puman iti nirnam mishagir dir mishayasam. Although the illumination of a lamp consists of innumerable rays of light undergoing constant creation, transformation, and destruction, a person with illusory intelligence who sees the light for a moment will speak falsely, saying, "This is the light of the lamp." As one observes a flowing river, ever new water passes by and goes far away. Yet a foolish person observing one point in the river falsely states, "This is the water of the river." Similarly, although the body of a human being is constantly undergoing transformation, those who are simply wasting their lives falsely think and say that each particular stage of the body is a person's real identity. Om Ganatamarandasya Ganandana Shadakaya Chakshur Unitam Gina Tajmai Shri Gurave Namaha. When I joined the movement in New York in 77, Urjus Fat was the Prabhu was the Bhakta leader, and Hansarupa Prabhu was the assistant Bhakta leader. And they kept saying to me, "Bhakta Jim, you are not that body." And sometimes it actually would agitate me. They probably would see me acting in such a way that would indicate to them that I was thinking like that. And so because of ahankara, because of this misidentification of my body as myself, I would be disturbed. I went through so much suffering prior to coming to the movement, and to some extent still do, but I can see that it's a result of this misidentification. Prabhupada, in lecture after lecture, he spoke about this. He spoke about how one is not his body or her body. This is continual flow of instruction in this area. I mean, it seems like, well, this is very basic, but why would he do this? I mean, when you honestly look at your situation and your trajectory in Krishna consciousness, asking a personal question here, how many of you have full realization that you're not your body? Just raise your hand. That, oh, Trivikram's the only one. Okay, congratulations, Trivikram, you made it. So this is not an easy thing to realize in one sense. I mean, but the Bhagavatam actually makes it quite easy if we're approaching the Bhagavatam in the right way. In the second verse of the Bhagavatam, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmacharanam Satam Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivanam Tapatrayan Mulanam. So this highest truth that's presented in the Bhagavatam, it's reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. You, me, all of us. And such truth actually uproots the threefold miseries. So this ability to distinguish between reality and illusion is what's being addressed here in today's verse and purport. And why is it so important? Why is this such a significant issue for us jivas aspiring to make spiritual advancement? And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sani Vishto Mata Shmitir Ganam Apohanam Cha Vadaish Cha Saver Aham Eva Vedyo Vedantakut Vedavid Eva Chaham. So Krishna says, by all the Vedas I am to be known. So this is the purpose behind the Vedas. And then Prabhupada explains that there are, goes into this whole discussion in the 20th chapter of Madhya Lila. There's three other more refined purposes, but ultimately they're all to know Krishna. And that's Sambandha Gyan, which is understanding our relationship with Krishna, our relationship with the material energy, the material energy's relationship with Krishna. So that kind of triad of principles or aspects of knowledge are addressed by Sambandha Gyan. So this is essentially what's being presented today, is this Sambandha Gyan. So what do you do with the Sambandha Gyan? And then that's Abhideya, you know, the actual process to achieve Prayojana, which is life's ultimate goal, Prema Pumarto Mahan. You know, this is actually the greatest necessity. Prayojana is sometimes translated as necessity. So to develop love for Krishna is the greatest necessity. So how to get there? It's one thing to have this book knowledge. Okay, so I could reiterate in the Bhakta classes that, yeah, I'm not my body. And, you know, but then it keeps telling me that I'm not my body, and it was irritating, I have to be honest. I mean, I can say, though, that it did plant a good seed, you know, of understanding. So how does that realization actually fully manifest? I guess we could say, Jivaras Rupahoi Krishnara Nichadas. You know, when we actually understand our specific relationship with Krishna, then it's completely gone. I mean, that's, you know, in the stage of bhava, that starts awakening. Even before bhava, we get some indications of what our role is in Krishna's eternal pastimes. But how do actually accelerate that? What holds us back from doing this, from understanding that we're not our bodies, that we're Krishna's eternal servants? It's a challenge, you know, but when we really think about it, you know, because it's an important consideration. Well, otherwise, why would Prabhupada continually stress this? We can say that this is the most basic understanding of Krishna consciousness, but yet it's not so easy to actually realize. So, in the second chapter of the first canto, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janaya Yashu Vairagyam Gyananchaya Rahetukam. So by rendering devotional service, then one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. So just simply by rendering devotional service. So then why, after so many years of trying to do that, maybe we're still locked in to some extent to bodily consciousness? Where does that come from? Why is it taking place? What can we do about it? Good questions to ask of ourselves, right? Because they're significant. There's a nice verse in the second chapter of the 11th canto. This is, I can't remember which Yugendra is giving, giving this to King Nimi, but it's a quite a often quoted verse by Prabhupada, one of my favorites. Bayam dviti yabhi niveshita shad ishari petasha vipariyoshmiti tanmaya yato buddha abhajaitan guru deva tatma. I'm sorry. Bhaktyai kayesham guru deva tatma. So, Prabhupada, of course, he didn't translate this in the Bhagavatam, but in the Madhya Lila, chapter 25, he gave a translation, which is really nice. I really kind of favor that. When the living entity is attracted by the material energy, which is separate from Krishna, he's overpowered by fear. Like one of the lines that Vaisheshika has imparted to us, and have you heard of stress? And yeah. He said, but you look very peaceful. What are you doing? What's your secret? Well, I sleep 14 hours a day. You know, that was one of the responses given. But that's what it's all about. You know, this is where the stress comes from, you know, because we're misidentifying. Okay, so when the living entity is attracted by the material energy, which is separate from Krishna, he's overpowered by fear. Because he's separated from the Supreme Lord by the material energy, his conception of life is reversed. Interesting. In other words, instead of being the eternal servant of Krishna, he becomes Krishna's competitor. The Purusha. I am the enjoyer. I am the center of the universe. Ichadvesha samutvena dvandvo mahina bharata. So the living entity comes into this material world and he's overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. He wants to play act as Krishna, and he's got some envy. He's a competitor. I'm envious of Keshava's smile. You guys have a beautiful smile. You know, I wish I had a smile like Keshava. That smile melts people's hearts. So, you know, I mean, there's this kind of like competition that takes place. It used to, Prabhupada harnessed it with the book distribution, with the Sankirtan newsletter. So there can be transcendental competition, but there can also be material competition. So this viparyoshmiti, this role reversal, it's something that we're all having to deal with, to undo it, to reverse the reversal, and be again situated as eternal servants of Krishna in our consciousness. So to nullify this mistake of viparyoshmiti, Srila Prabhupada in his translation says, one who is actually learned and advanced worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a spiritual master. He also worships a spiritual master. Worshipable deity and source of life. He thus worships the Lord by the process of unalloyed devotional service. So now there's an interesting discussion that took place between Bhakti Chusrami And Srila Prabhupada in 1977, actually Bhakti Chuswami joined the movement, as far as I understand, in 1977. He took first and second initiation at the same time, and 2 months later, because of his level of spiritual evolution, Prabhupada gave him sannyas and put him right to work translating his books into Bengali. And so Bhakti Chuswami asked Srila Prabhupada, how can we realize our eternal identity, our eternal relationship with Krishna? How do we go about it? And Prabhupada gave an interesting answer, but something that's very deep. He said that your eternal relationship with Krishna will be revealed by your spiritual master within the heart when you're chanting Hare Krishna. Okay, so again, your eternal relationship with Krishna will be revealed by your spiritual master within your heart when you're chanting Hare Krishna. Okay, so is everyone sufficiently confused by how that works? Does that make sense? I mean, in one sense it does, but do we chant Hare Krishna all the time? There's an awful lot of other service we do. Of course, the relationship with the spiritual master is a 24/7 engagement, if we really take it seriously. So there's some, components of that relationship, in our attitude and mood that are essential for that process to work. Tadvidhi panipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te gyanam ganinas tatvadarshana. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. Self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because you've seen the truth. So that, approach the spiritual master, inquire submissively, and render service. So that, the ability to realize our identity, to get out of the material consciousness, to get off of the bodily platform, is all about that. It's service, submissive inquiry. So that inquiry may take the form of Prabhupada instructed all of us to regularly read his books, 1 to 2 hours a day. That's a, it's a hefty order. But why would he do that? Because we get continually reinforced, our spiritual intelligence is continually reinforced. When we're strong in our spiritual intelligence, then the mind, becomes controllable. We can get out of our minds, so to speak, to use the vernacular. I'm completely out of my mind. That sounds like I'm crazy, but to chant Hare Krishna nicely, we have to be out of our mind and into our heart. And just very feelingly and lovingly appeal to Krishna to engage me in your service. And simultaneously free me from so many anarthas and the blockages to my devotional service. And what are these anarthas? They all stem from this misidentification. As recently, in Raghunath Das Goswami, in Srimana Shiksha, and also Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jaivadharma, they indicate that the most difficult weeds are what choke the creeper of devotion, prevent us from understanding our eternal identity as Krishna's servant. And they stem from this misidentification of the body as the self and everything that goes with it, all the subtle conceptions that come with this misidentification of being this role reversal. So both Raghunath Das Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur make the point that pratishtha is the most difficult of all the weeds to overcome. What is pratishtha? We want to be recognized. We want to be praised. We want to be a big shot. Right? So this actually is, you know, so what is devotional service anyway? I mean, what are we supposed to be doing? If I excel in service and everyone notices me and say, Jai, John Mastami, you did it again. But that's not what we're really here for. That's not what devotional service is all about. Anyabhi lashita sunyam, jnana karma dhyanavitam, anukul yena krishnanu, shilanam bhakti uttam. When pure devotional service develops, one must be free from all material desires, knowledge obtained by minister philosophy, fruit of action. One must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. So in other words, if our thoughts are in those along those lines, how am I going to become, you know, a big shot? How am I going to become well known? How am I going to be recognized? It's not devotional service. But it looks like it. We're doing everything else. We may be distributing hundreds of books. We may be maybe very learned, giving great Bhagavatam classes. And people come to us for advice because they think we're so advanced. But if our mentality is to make a good impression all the time, as opposed to trying to please Krishna, it's not devotional service. It's mixed, very mixed. And it will keep us in bodily consciousness. So how do we know when we're pleasing Krishna? How do we know? I mean, okay, so we can pray to Krishna, please let me please you by my service. That can be the whole mood, even of our japa. I'm chanting my japa. I'm very seriously trying to hear myself sincerely chant your holy names. Because I want a relationship with you. And then when that genuine relationship starts awakening, what, shastrically, how do we know that we're actually pleasing Krishna? As opposed to, because it's subtle. I mean, weeds, you know, sometimes devotees, myself included, will go years and years watering a weed rather than the creeper. So how do we know? It takes introspection, but one very clear indication that we're actually pleasing Krishna could be I think probably most devotees know the verse. It's the 59th verse of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Anybody want to recite it? Now, Madan Mohan, he knows all the numbers. And not so many others know all the numbers. But, so this starts out, Vishaya. Okay. So, Rasavarjam, Rasopyasya, Param Drisva Nivartate. Devotional service, if rendered purely, one receives a very high taste from doing it. Krishna reciprocates. He's pleased. And we know he's pleased because we're pleased. There's a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave in Ahmedabad. I get those two cities mixed up sometimes, but they seem like they're pretty close in spelling. And Ahmedabad, which is in UP, right? Ahmedabad's in Gujarat, and he started out with a little analogy. Just as the king has many servants, and the business of the servants is to please the king. That's their responsibility. They're just their servants. So similarly, a devotee, his main responsibility is to please Krishna. And when Krishna is pleased, then the devotee is pleased. So that bliss that a devotee experiences in the process of executing his devotional service, this is direct reciprocation from Krishna, indicating that he's pleased. There's another really nice reference that's not very commonly known. Krishnadas Kaviraj quotes it in Madhya 22. It's actually from, oh boy, I lost the quote. So 11th canto, 29th chapter, the last chapter in the Uddhava Gita. The living entity who is subjected to birth and death attains immortality when he gives up all material activities, dedicates his life to the execution of my order, and acts according to my directions. In this way, he becomes fit to enjoy the spiritual bliss derived from exchanging loving mellows with me. I'm reading Prabhupada's translation from Madhya 22. That's his instructions to Sanat Goswami. So, one indication that we may be watering weeds rather than a creeper is that we're not experiencing much bliss. When we get to bliss, then material satisfaction, sense objects become very pale. They're not attractive to us, right? I mean, that's our philosophy. So we get that indication. If we're experiencing a lot of bliss in our japa, in our service throughout the day, then we know we're on the right track. If things are dry and we're not getting that taste, then we got to start looking at our garden and see if there are little weeds that are growing or big weeds, and do something about it. And that may, how do we deal with anarthas when we recognize that they're there? There's an interesting couplet, two verses back to back in Bhajan Rahasya. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on Harinam Chintamani. And the first verse, I don't have the Bengali on it, but it's one who fails to try and free himself from anarthas in this lifetime does not get the blessings of the holy name and does not meet with success in life. Okay, so that's one thing you got to do. You got to get rid of the anarthas. How do you do it? So then, in the next verse, he says, on one's own, one cannot free himself from anarthas. But if one cries to the holy name for several days, then the holy name will remove all the anarthas from his heart. It sounds a little bit like a hyperbole, but of course, this is dependent upon the level of intensity of the cry and the pure motivation. But that's really what we do with japa. We're praying to Krishna. It's not a mental activity. It's something from the heart. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you don't chant with your lips, you chant from your heart. So with all the feeling, with all of the intensity that one can muster, you can cry to Krishna, please engage me in your service. Please remove these anarthas from me, from my heart. It doesn't have to be a thought that distracts us. It doesn't have to be an intention of chanting. It's just a mood, like an attitude that's in the heart. I want to be your pure servant. And this is the process of becoming free from anarthas and actually experiencing transcendental bliss. Anandamaya Byasat. This is from Vedanta Sutra. It describes Krishna as always seeking pleasure. This is what Krishna does. And because we're parts and parcels, we're also doing that. Because of our conditioned nature, we have this tendency to try and seek it on the material platform. And it just doesn't work. You know, Yehi sam sparshaja boga dukkha yona dukkha yona evate adyanta vantukanteya na teshu ramate buddha. hope I got that right. Anyway, but the intelligent person, he understands that by contacting the object of the senses, this is a source of distress. He goes elsewhere. He goes, not that, you know, the Vaishnava, you know, genuine renunciation, Yukta Vairagya, he's seen this as Krishna's property, not mine for my enjoyment, but Krishna's for his enjoyment. And then there's all kinds of bliss that awakens. And our devotional service becomes incredibly meaningful. We have a high level of enthusiasm and determination to persevere under all kinds of challenging circumstances. This is what will take place if we, you know, have this mood. Okay? So I'll stop here, and maybe there's some questions or comments. Hare Krishna. Yes, Ramiya Prabhu.
Prabhu, you were talking about one of the symptoms of, you know, that we're performing devotional service correctly, being feeling bliss, ecstasy. And I'm wondering whether before that we actually just experience like an absorption, that nothing else is really interfering with our consciousness, and that way we're fully connected with Krishna.
Say that, could you repeat that?
I say before we can expect all this bliss, maybe we should just focus on being absorbed.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of go together. You know, it's like there's a really nice verse, one of Madan Mohan's favorites, is 325.33. That just as this, you know, when we are eating, then the stomach will digest everything that we eat. So similarly, by the process of devotional service, the subtle body is dissipated. It takes care of this. So it's simultaneous. Like the process of jnana yoga or astanga yoga is aroha panta. It means that, as opposed to avaroha panta. Avaroha panta is the descending process. We rely upon the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master for our spiritual advancement. On the other hand, the jnani yogi or the astanga yogi or the karmi yogi, on the strength of their own endeavor, you know, and austerities, this is how they make advancement. They're not looking for this descending mercy that's there. So when we seriously take up the order of the spiritual master, when we have Vyavyashyatmika Buddhi, then automatically, you know, we'll get the bliss and we'll also get the sensual control. Initially, you know, on a neophyte platform, you know, in the Bhakta program, you know, Urjas Fat and Hansarupa, they had to yell at me, back to Jim, you're not this body, to keep reminding me. And then you go through many years of brahmacharya, you know, they're just, you kind of like are put in a situation where you got to do it. So that there's an element like that in the beginning, you know, that just like, what is it, chapter, I don't remember how it starts, but there, you know, knowledge and renunciation can help us get a foothold in devotional service, but it can be, you know, it actually kind of starts getting into, I'm not talking about Divya Gyan, but I'm talking about, you know, this Gyan, can kind of actually get in the way because it tends to harden the heart. Again, that's dry renunciation. So if we're just, no, I'm not going to do it, you know, that can be there. But if we're actually intensely engaged in devotional service, then automatically it becomes very easy. Very easy for the bhakta to renounce. Nothing that you're losing. You're actually just gaining tremendously by engaging the senses, mind, intelligence, and Krishna's service. And the bliss will be there. It's automatic. Even on the very, you know, even new devotees can experience this. Any other points? Mother Ragatmaka? Where'd the microphone go? K. Keshava, where did you disappear? Oh, there he is. Okay, so Ragatma, so did you want to say something? There you are. I couldn't see you. I was blocked. Yoga Maya covered me. That amazing smile I couldn't see.
Not to minimize the nice quote you recited from the Harinam Chintamani about...
Can you say it, start over again?
Not to minimize the point you made from Harinam Chintamani about crying to Krishna, crying to the holy name to remove anarthas.
Right.
But I had also heard that it's like the process of removing anarthas is like making ghee. When the solids, the ghee solids rise, you need to use a ladle to scrape them off. So that ladle is compared to another devotee. You need the help of another devotee to remove the anarthas by that process of revealing the mind in confidence and inquiring confidentially.
Yeah, that's a good point. But what I would say, though, that in order to get that association and take it seriously, it depends a lot upon that crying mood.
So the holy name arranges that association.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be my response to it. Another way, you know, it doesn't necessarily always come in the form of guhya makyati prichati, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially. There's also the example given of of rough gems. You know, they're put into, there's a device that's used by jewelers. Who was telling me? His father actually was in the jewelry business in Arizona, and he had one of these devices. So the way it works is there's a tin can, like a tin can with a little trap door on it, and you put the rough gems in the tin can and close the door, and then you put it on this machine that rotates the tin can very rapidly so that the rough gems tumble around inside, and the rough edges of the individual gems abrade the other rough edges, and after 2 or 3 days, it actually works. At 2 or 3 days, they turn the machine off and they open up the trap door and the gems are polished. So I personally experienced, you know, that sometimes just, you know, in the form of maybe I get criticized, you know, even if I didn't do something wrong, but I get criticized, it's very purifying. Even if I did do something wrong and I get criticized, it's even more purifying. But actually, probably it's more purifying if I didn't do something wrong and I get criticized, because then I got to really eat humble pie. But the point is that the whole process, it's all-inclusive, every aspect. We worship the deity, we start to understand, I'm not the center of the universe, Krishna is. And then I experience this reciprocation by doing the deity worship, by taking darshan. I chant the holy name. I'm developing further and further my relationship with Krishna and his holy name. It's a relationship. Sometimes, a lot of times we hear it as a process, but it's also, you know, the chanting and japa means relationship. We go deeper and deeper in that relationship depending upon how sincerely we approach the holy name. And it's a time of tremendous introspection. Not that we're thinking of ourselves, but it just like comes to the surface. Oh my God. You know, then you got something to cry to the holy name about. The most recently recognized anartha. Oh, phew, man, I've been doing this for years. Now I can finally get this weed out of the way so my creeper can grow. Anything else? You? Get out of here, huh? Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.